One day, therefore, when Wan Lung went into the town to see his second son at the grain market, he asked him, "Well, my second son, what say you of the thing your elder brother desires, that we move into the town to the great house, if we can rent part of it?" The second son was grown a young man by now, and he had grown smooth and neat, and like the other clerks in the shop, although still small of stature and yellow-skinned and with crafty eyes, and he answered smoothly, "It is an excellent thing, and it would suit me well, for then I could wed and have my wife there also, and we would all be under one roof, as a great family is." Now Wan Lung had done nothing toward the wedding of this son, for he was a cool youth and cool-blooded, and there had never been any sign of lust in him, and Wan Lung had much else to trouble him. Now, however, he said in some shame, for he knew he had not done well by his second son, "Well, now I have said to myself this long time that you should be wed, but what with this thing, and that I have not had time, and with this last famine, and having to avoid all feasting, but now that men may eat again, the thing shall be done." And he cast about secretly in his mind where he should find a maid. The second son said then, "Well, and what I will then, for it is a good thing and better than spending money on a jade when the need comes, and it is right for a man to have sons. But do not get me a wife from a house in town, such as my brother has, for she will talk forever of what was in her father's house, and make me spend money, and it will be an anger to me." Wan Lung heard this with astonishment, for he had not known that his daughter-in-law was thus, seeing only that she was a woman careful to be correct in her behavior and fair enough in her looks. But it seemed to him wise talk, and he was rejoiced that his son was sharp and clever for the saving of money. This lad he had, indeed, scarcely known at all, for he grew up weak beside the vigor of the elder brother, and except for his piping tails, he was not a child or a youth to whom one would pay great heed, so that when he went into the shop, Wan Lung forgot him day after day, except to answer when anyone asked him how many children he had, "Well, and I have three sons." Now he looked at the youth, his second son, and he saw his smooth-cut hair, oiled and flat, and his clean gown of small, patterned gray silk, and he saw the youth's neat movements and steady, secret eyes, and he said to himself in his surprise, "Well, and this also is my son." And aloud he said, "What sort of a maid would you have, then?" Then the young man answered as smoothly and steadily as if he had the thing planned before, "I desire a maid from a village, of good landed family, and without poor relatives, and one who will bring a good dowry with her, neither plain nor fair to look upon, and a good cook, so that even though there are servants in the kitchen, she may watch them. And she must be such a one that if she buys rice it will be enough and not a handful over, and if she buys cloth the garment will be well cut, so that the scraps of cloth left over should lie in the palm of her hand. Such an one I want." Now Wan Lung was the more astonished when he heard this talk, for here was a young man whose life he had not seen, even though it was his own son. It was not such blood as this that ran in his own lusty body when he was young, nor in the body of his eldest son. Yet he admired the wisdom of the young man, and he said laughing, "Well, and I shall seek such a maid, and Ching shall look for her among the villages."